with just the
and just this piece. Yeah, yeah. So did this piece? Everybody understood it?
Oh,
yes. Yeah? Just every single time a person does an Aveira, if he says Ashamnu, which means that we sinned. What does it mean we sinned? I sinned. So he says this is a secret that really every time a person does an Aveira, if not for the fact that Hashem lets you do it, then you wouldn't be able to do it. If that's the case, then every single time a Jew does an Aveira, Hashem has a part in the Aveira. It's a big secret. This is one of the secrets of creation, the secret. And so therefore, if Hashem is participating in the Aveira, then it's not an Aveira at all. The reason why I say that this is a secret is because we don't speak about this publicly. Because if that's the case, now what's the beauty in knowing that every time I do an Aveira, that Hashem, from the fact that He lets me do it,
a person will take advantage?
Take advantage. It means to say that a person can go ahead and do any Aveira he wants, and he'll be so mech on the fact that, listen, it's not an Aveira, because Hashem can stop me. And from the fact that He lets me do it, means that He participates with me, I'll be off the hook. Of this Chazal say, it doesn't work like that. Chazal say, Gemara Numa, Ha'omer echet ha'ashuv, if a person says, I will do an Aveira, and I will do tshuva for it, Eima speaking biyodo lasa tshuva. He doesn't have the ability to do tshuva. Meaning that there's a built-in tenai, there's a built-in clause into this safety net. That if a person depends on it before doing the Aveira, it doesn't help. It only helps a person if he goes ahead and does the Aveira accidentally. And then after, in retrospect, when he looks back and he says, listen, I shouldn't have done that Aveira, what now can I do in order to have tshuva on it? At that point, then it helps him.
Yeah, but once a person knows that, he's always going to have it in the back of his mind.
But Hashem knows his mind.
Sure. Well, when a just knowing about that, it's not going to stop you from doing anything else in the first place.
There are a lot of people. You can avoid that. You just...
Again, you go can ahead. Avoid. So what we said before, you can avoid it. But when a person gets to a certain level of understanding God and Hashem, and you're already trying, you're already on a certain level,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to use it. So you don't tell this ever. It's a good thing. You don't say it publicly.
First of all, understand this as well. This is very important. If a person, you and I, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of emunah. And we read this and we didn't flinch. Because you and I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching and He knows and He's involved in every single aspect of creation from the beginning, from the big things to the smallest things. Which means to say that you know right now that as you eat that pretzel, if Hashem wanted you not to eat the pretzel, He would stop you right now. Which means to say that Hashem is involved in every minute aspect of the world.
So you can all say there's no Yitzhara then.
Yeah? Okay.
It comes with desire, no? Like, I wanted to eat this pretzel because I wanted to.
But that's God too.
Yeah, but it just... Go ahead,
kind of not. You're touching on something which the Gemara alludes to, mm-hmm. as far as I speak about, but it needs more clarification.
Okay.
But before we get to that, if we do Mitzvah Hashem, the fact that a Jew knows that everything which we do, up to the smallest detail, Hashem is involved in that, reflects two things. One, that when we speak about Hashem's oneness, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, it doesn't just mean, like the conventional understanding, Hashem is one and there's not two. You know how many different explanations people have in their minds when they say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad? A toddler and a child growing up in a cheder, in some type of a school for children, he's taught that Hashem is one means the number one. That there's only one and there's not two. But at Tzadik Hador, a great, great giant of the generation, when he says the word Echad in Shema Yisrael, he makes the entire existence become nothing in front of God. Which means to say that there's nothing else which exists other than Hashem. Not only that, But then Hashem is even higher than existence itself. Hashem had to create existence. So you know the range between the number one and not two versus that Hashem is an absolute one, that His oneness is even higher than the number one?
Can you even understand that?
Can't understand.
That greater than existence?
You can't understand that. You only your neshama can understand. Your seichel cannot understand that.
You can't find existence.
Your mind cannot understand that. Only your neshama can understand it. Because your neshama comes from there also.
So why can't my neshama make my brain understand that?
Because you're not in touch with your neshama. Because if you were, you'd be living a totally different life.
So if one is in touch with his neshama, like you say, so you can't understand.
That's the tzaddik ador.
So not every human being is bound, is limited to
that. You will understand what it means, echad, according to how you live your life, and to how much neshama of your neshama is shining upon you. That will be your understanding of the word echad, Shema Yisrael. There are certain tzaddikim that they would say that it's a miracle that after I say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Echad, then I'm still alive. There was one tzaddik, the tzaddik from Stralis, every time before he went to go daven Shacharit, he would go over to his wife and he would say, thank you very much. We had a beautiful life together. I don't know if I'm going to see you again. Every morning he went through the same routine. I don't know if I'm going to see you. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that it's a miracle that a tzaddik lives after Shachar. It's a miracle. We just don't understand the range because we're so far from the understanding of Hashem's oneness. The Ramchal says that Hashem is even higher than one. It's just the reason why we use the word one in Shema Yisrael is because it's the closest way for us to explain Hashem. But even the word Echad doesn't do justice. That's the first thing we have to understand when we speak about this secret. Is that it means to say that Hashem is involved in every single aspect of the universe in a way that He's a partner in everything which is done. Because if He could push the button,
He cannot push the button.
Or He cannot push the button, that means He's inherently involved at every single moment. So you and I, Baruch Hashem, we take that for granted. We're very healthy in our neshamot. Because some people will sit here and they go, ah! It means that they're sick. They're spiritually sick. Because if a Jew can be tofes that, if he could believe that, and he feels that, it's a zechut for him, and it shows that his tamimut with Hashem is very strong. That's the first thing about this secret of Hashem, which we say here, that we did the aver. Secondly, it means to say that if I think for now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He can push the button and He can stop me, and the fact that He doesn't means He participates with me. It means to say that Hashem, He loves me. Because if He didn't love me, why would He care?
Again, if He's not stopping you, He loves you?
No. If he can, meaning if He's taking interest in this, if He's looking at me, if He's looking at everything which I'm doing, that means that He loves me. Because let's say a father with a child. If a father doesn't like a child, he's not mashgiach over what his child is doing. He doesn't care to see how his child is going about.
Yeah, but you could say that because He's letting me do whatever I want, and He's like with you doing it, He's letting me do whatever I want, He doesn't really care.
No, that's because the fact that Hashem gives you your bechira, your choice, is going to ultimately serve a greater good than if He were to stop you right now from doing this.
One more time?
If Hashem were to stop you from doing what you wanted to do right now,
yeah,
because you were doing an aveira, He'd be taking away your bechira. Uh-huh.
What's
bechira? He'd be taking away your free choice. That the whole purpose of creating man was that he should have free choice and he should have reward. Mm-hmm. So now, if He's going to stop you from doing the aveira, take away your free choice, right now it may be good for you, but then the whole system of your reward and punishment is down the drain, and so the good which He created you for at the end of your life, how are you going to give it to you?
But there are times when He does that.
When does He take away bechira?
When you did the Avera, you had your Bechira. When you did not do the Avera, you did not have your Bechira.
Sometimes a person, if a person, there are times where sometimes a person will, let's say, want to do an Avera, and Hashem will not allow him to do the Avera, but not by taking away his Bechira. He may have a Zechut that he did once before, that mitzvah protects him from doing the Avera.
Like an obstacle come up in the way.
But that's not taking away your Bechira. That's, you may have a Zechut which allows you to be protected right now from doing an Avera.
But I still shut down your Bechira.
That's not shutting down your Bechira.
You made your choice to go ahead and do it.
But you didn't do it.
God shut you down.
Okay, no. But that's a huge difference than actually doing it. Because Hashem does not punish a person who has an intention to do an Aveira until he actually does the Aveira.
Yeah, but then your Bechiyah doesn't mean anything. Even if you put that obstacle in front of you, then your Bechiyah doesn't mean anything.
That's not true. You still have the Bechiyah, but because of a mitzvah which you did, you have an obstacle. Now, you may decide that you want to push through that obstacle and do the Aveira, in which case you have the Rishut to do that. But there will be times that Hashem will give you a Zechut that He'll put things in your way, obstacles that you don't come to do the Aveira. Because when you do the Aveira, that's when your Aveira takes effect in the world and shatters the world.
So I have a question. You said that if God puts obstacles instead of before you do an Aveira, that means because you're getting a Zechut for something that you previously did good,
which you really didn't do.
Why?
Because Hashem did it.
That's not true. Hashem gives a person free choice, 100% free choice. That's why it says in the Kutta Maran. It says that somebody once came to Rav Nachman and he said to him, "What's the secret of Bechira?" He says, "You know what the secret of Bechira is? Every single Jew has 100% free choice." So you have to understand. 100% free choice. Never takes away. Now, it's true, where we're going to read in the coming Parashiyot, that according to many Rishonim, many of the early commentaries, that Paro, this is how the Rambam learns, that Paro, he became such a Rasha that Hashem took away his free choice. That's why it says that Hashem hardened his heart. Took away his free choice. But the Rambam says that that was a punishment for Paro because he was such a Rasha. He was such a Rasha that Hashem took away his free choice. That was his punishment. That he didn't have any sense anymore of this is me doing things. That's the biggest punishment that a person can have is to lose his sense of self.
So it wasn't because whatever was supposed to happen, that means was supposed to happen, it was because he was a Rasha?
No, it was supposed to happen.
Meaning if Yechatahol was not a Rasha, that wouldn't have happened.
Correct.
Unless
Allah could. Right.
So he had to be a Rasha.
No. I'm talking about Paro right now, in Paro's relationship with Hashem. I'm not talking about what's happening with Bnei Israel surrounding that. I'm talking about Paro and Hashem, their relationship. Paro did so many Aveirot that he deserved the greatest punishment of all. What's the greatest punishment of all? To lose your free choice. Because if you lose your free choice, you lose the I. You lose your sense of self-identity.
So that's the greatest punishment. That happened regardless, Rasha or not Rasha.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And what you said before, that if you end up pushing through an obstacle and you end up going through Avira, you said something about it's going to shatter the world, something like that, right? But if it ended up happening and you wanted it to happen, yes?
Sorry, say again?
If it ended up happening that you pushed through,
yeah,
and you did the Avira and your world did shatter, you shattered something, or you had some kind of effect in the world, the fact that happened, that means God wanted that to happen.
Not that He wanted it to happen. That Hashem says, like the Gemara says, "B'derech shadam rotze leilech, molichen oto." If where you want to go, you will be led. You will be allowed to go. So Hashem says, it's in the greater good that I let you go ahead and do what it is that you want to do. So Hashem is not giving you a haskama. He's not saying, shkoyach, because you did the Aveira. He didn't want you to do the Aveira. But Hashem, He sees into the future and He sees that it's better that I let Him do this Aveira rather than take away His Bechira. Because if I take away His Bechira, then the whole destiny and purpose of creation is now gone. So I'd rather have a small expense so that I shouldn't have a greater expense down the line. That makes sense?
Makes sense, but still it's, you know that Hashem knows everything you're going to do. So if He knows everything, why should Bechira over here?
Okay, so that already the Rambam says is that that's the secret which only your neshama can understand, your seichel cannot understand. That the secret of Bechira, and this is what Rabbi Nachman was referring to, in a way without making it complicated, because the Derech of Breslov is not to complicate things, it's to make things as simple as possible. But what Rav Nachman is saying is that a Jew has to believe 100% that he has 100% free choice and 100% that Hashem is controlling the world.
He has to believe that, but it's not actually true.
It's 100% true.
Why would you believe that?
That 100% that a Jew has free choice and 100%...
You have to believe it because you can't believe otherwise because you can't understand.
That's what he means to say. That you have to believe it as opposed to understand it. That you can't, your mind cannot be
toe-face
how it is to have 100%, 100%. We think of splitting things as being 50-50. But it's not that you have 50% free choice and 50% that Hashem is involved. It's 100% free choice and 100% that Hashem is involved.
That means I'm God.
Why are you God? Because
not
of
me. We're all God.
Every single
it's 100, God. 100.
That's the point.
Mitzad the fact, from the perspective that you have 100% free choice, you're not God. You're 100% you. From the fact that Hashem is 100% involved, that means that the whole world is filled with Hashem's presence. That doesn't make you God. What makes you godly is that you have a piece of Hashem called a neshama, okay. which is what makes a Jew unique, which everybody else doesn't have.
And what's the point of me having that neshama if I cannot connect it to understand certain things?
Because you could connect to it. And for that, you need Torah mitzvot. That the more that you do Torah mitzvot, the more that you reveal the neshama which Hashem has given you, and that you become godly. But you are inherently potential godliness. But the more that you reveal your neshama, you reveal your godliness.
But can you go back? Like if you reveal certain parts of neshama, let's say you reveal 10% of it, and you feel, you learn, you know, whatever, and then you're surrounded by the nonsense of this world, can it push that level back at times?
Absolutely. But you'll always have a roshim left. You'll always have something left of that to make you be able to get there back more easily. It wasn't for nothing. And the accomplishments that you accomplished on that level, you'll have those accomplishments forever.
On the spiritual level.
On the spiritual level. And then how you affected the worlds and those accomplishments as well. And the schutim which will come with that. But a person has a choice all the time. Whether to make the fire bigger, to make it smaller. And that's the reason why tzaddikim were able to do miracles. It wasn't because they said names of Hashem and that's why things happen. Anybody could say names of Hashem and make things happen. And anybody can have emunah. It's just that when a person makes himself godly and he reveals his neshama, he can do things which Hashem does. Because he's a piece of Hashem. A piece of Hashem.
But I'm a piece of Hashem regardless. Whether
yeah, but
I
it's not.
Neshama or not.
But it's if it's concealed, for example, if I have a candle and I have a cover over it, then there's a candle there, but this doesn't show any light because something covering it. That's called your body. But the tzaddikim that they purify their bodies and they clean their neshamas from the stains of their avirot and they reveal that light shines. And it can be felt in the world. So the avodah in this world is not just to do as many mitzvot as possible and to learn as much Torah as possible and to try to do so many chumrot and to daven 3 hours, 18 and put tefillin on the whole day. That's not the avodah in this world. The avodah in this world is that a Jew should reveal the gift that Hashem has given him. It's to be neshama. That the more that a Jew is true to himself, and his true self is that he's a neshama, he's fulfilling the purpose in this world. And that goes along, as long as a person is mindful of that reality during the day, whether he's in the Beit Midrash, whether he's at work, doesn't matter where he is. As long as a Jew is mindful of, I am a neshama, I believe in myself, I know who I am, I know the gift that Hashem has given me, and I go with that, this is a person who is on the road to becoming a tzaddik, to revealing the nekudav tzaddik which he already has. This is the secret, the Gemara says. I'll say the words, and you'll tell me if you can understand, based on what we just said, how this Gemara makes sense. Gemara says like this. Gdola avera lishma. Greater is an avera that a person does lishma, with the right intentions. Yoter, more than a mitzvah, shelo lishma, without the right intention.
Avera with the right intentions, meaning?
You have to explain that, that's the question. What does it mean when the Gemara says, an avera, which a person does, quote-unquote, lishma?
That's the question in itself. How is an avera lishma?
Yeah, very good.
The daf got to do it because it's an avera to do it.
And we learn that we cannot do that. We can't go to low places purposely for.
Connect what you just. That's right.
What do you mean? So it's a shabnu. It's us. Right. It's me and Hashem.
That's right.
So you'd rather do something even if it's bad. At least you know it's me. You and Hashem. But again, you can't do it intentionally. It's after the fact.
Correct. But this idea, the emuna itself that a person has. That even in the averas which he does, that Hashem is present, and that Hashem loves me, and that Hashem is one, is greater, that zechut, that concept, that knowledge, that dot, is greater than the mitzvahs which a person does without understanding the oneness of Hashem. Which means to say that the mitzvah of oneness of Hashem incorporates all the mitzvot in the Torah. So if a person does this isolated mitzvah, being that the purpose of the whole world is that a Jew should know that Hashem is one, that understanding, even if he does an Avera, you're right, he was not supposed to do an Avera like that to begin with, but if he does an Avera and he knows that, that zechut of knowing this oneness of Hashem is greater than even a mitzvah which one does if he doesn't know that.
Going by this concept of Hashem, the perspective of it, if one understands that and lives by that his whole life, then there would be no punishment after death for him.
That's right.
He'll be straight heaven. But is that just because you understand that, or it's a reality for everybody?
Because you understand that. Because in your reality, it's true.
So if someone's reality is, you do an avera, you get punishment, you do good, you get good, then he's going to hell after.
That's right.
So if that reality is erased from your mentality, basically you're saying...
You don't exist anymore.
That's why the tzaddikim hagdolim, the great tzaddikim, what they really wanted was, what, more than anything, was to teach the people the secret of emunah. Because if a person is true in his emunah and he understands that Hashem is everywhere and in everything and he's involved in everything, it won't even, a person can't even bring himself to do an avira. Can't even bring himself to do the avira.
It happens.
If it happens, if it happens, that means the person is not 100% mindful of the real oneness of Hashem.
You're never 100% mindful because you don't actually understand what.
Connected. Connected in his neshama.
Obviously, you try to connect, but
it's all going to come back in a circle.
You could do an avera, but it's not considered an avera for you.
Right. Like in last week's parsha, it says,
you can't think like that, though. No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you understand that before the fact, you will never even come to do the avera. But if you go ahead and you slip because you lost sight of that. And now after that, you machazek yourself and you remember and you hold back on that madriga again. In retrospect, what you did is gone.
In the beginning, when
so
I
it's like
this,
it's like you did the teshuvah already.
I was doing a lot of bad stuff and I knew that I'm not supposed to be thinking the way I'm thinking, like using this. I couldn't get it straight for like a few months.
Yeah,
it's pretty dangerous. Like this.
So now you understand.
Whatever I do, I say in the end, God wants.
No good, B.
That's not true.
I know it's not true, British. I'm just saying, you know, it's.
So now you understand that it's only in retrospect.
I gotta punch you in the face.
You can't use God. That. You can't use that.
No, because you know what if I. End of the day, very simple. If God did not want you to do something, you would not do.
But that's not true, because the Gemara says, the Bederech Shadam Rotel Eleich, and the way that you want to go, Hashem lets you go. That's what I'm explaining to you. Because there's a greater good in letting you do what you want to do. That doesn't mean that Hashem is giving you a haskama and he's saying, go ahead and do it. It's good for you. He's saying that it's better that I let you do this because in the end, in the long run, it's better for you this way. But in the short run, it's not good for you.
But then where does that song come from? That song also comes from there, from Hashem.
That's so, it.
Will. It says, Allah says wherever a person wants to go, they'll help you go there. But that want also came from Hashem.
That's true. But that want is 100% free. It's 100% free choice.
So
it may have come from
Hashem. So want, take it or leave it.
That's right. He gives you the want and he says, the want is in your hands.
So
you choose what you want to do.
It's a setup.
It's not a setup.
This is my idea.
You have a setup. Hashem wants you to be like him. That's the goodness, the greatness of this world and the purpose of this world is that man should be like the Creator. Because being the creator is the ultimate greatness and the ultimate pleasure. And Hashem wants that man which he creates should be like him. That's why the word Adam is from the word Adamel Elyon. It's not impossible. Adamel Elyon. That man should be like the Holy One. Should be like Hashem. So just like Hashem has 100% free will, he gives over to each of his creations, to a Jew especially, 100% free will.
But how is it not a setup? It's still a setup. If I give a kid that has diabetes a lollipop, I want to test his free will. I give him the want to have it now. I'm setting him up.
For disaster?
For whatever.
No, it's not. Hashem gives you a neshama which will guide you in the right direction. Hashem put things in your world and gave you things in your life to help you make the right decision.
It's also the opposite.
Against your Yitzhak. Okay, so there's a battle between the Yitzhak and the Yitzhak Tov, which is the neshama, and how a person should be able to lead his life. But his ratzon in the middle, which is called the ruach, is 100%, and he has things to the right and to the left, which are trying to influence his decision at the end of life. It's not a setup. It's just that at the end of the day, by having 100% free will and listening to the neshama and making good choices, he'll be zochet to the great good that Hashem wants, which comes from having 100% free will.
So what degree does a non-Jew have?
Not as much as a Jew.
Not as much or not at all?
Not as much.
No, honestly.
Not as much.
God. For example, whenever I fall in any case, I say to Hashem, like, you know, I know it wasn't in my control, you know, I'm going to try my best not to do it next time, Hashem, I know it wasn't in my control, you know, you're saying, you're giving it up, you know, to him. I mean, you're saying that he's the one who made you do it in the end, no? But you understand that you did it also, you know, I mean, you get what I'm saying?
Say again?
Like, you say in your teshuvah, Hashem, I know it wasn't in my control what I did, I'm going to try my best not to do it again next time, but...
you understand that you weren't in control, he was.
It's good.
I mean,
yeah.
And I'm trying to say it's not your fault. No, but I'm not saying it's not my fault. I'm saying it wasn't in my control, you know?
I mean, because you used to have
how does free will come into play?
I mean, what you're saying is like this. Really, you may not have wanted to do it.
It's red wine.
Yeah,
then
say soft slopes.
Great match with roast beef. Strong cheese, game, and soup.
So addictive. I don't know what game means.
Gay?
Game.
I read that before. I don't know what game means. Like, you know what that is then?
Yo, you don't have enough bracelets, you gotta have 5 more.
It has to do with it. It has to do with it.
I know. Suppose this is deadly.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what you're saying is like this: is that what you're trying to say in front of Hashem is that you really didn't want to do the avera which you did, and you didn't have a choice. Meant that your goof, your body, and that animalistic taiva inside of you was so powerful and so strong, and was motivating you and pushing you so strongly. That's why you did what you did. And it's as if you didn't have choice in the matter because your desire was so strong. That's what you're saying. But it sounds like you didn't have any control. It's just like your ta'ava, your desire to do it was so strong that it was that you felt like you didn't have a any ability to stand up against it.
So I can't say Hashem, I know it wasn't in my control.
Right, you can't say that because ultimately many reasons why you can't say that. Because ultimately, the reason why your Yitzhahara is so strong is because it's gained strength time after time after time after time. So you've let your Yitzhahara's power become so strong over the many days, months, and years that you've allowed it to go do whatever it wants to do. So if you were to trace it back to its roots, who made the decision to allow it to grow so strong? You raised it this way.
Yeah, but then you were right there. Then you didn't know any better.
And now you know better? And now you know better?
Yeah.
Maybe it's some type of a limud zchus, but it would be smarter to say in front of Hashem, Hashem, I apologize. I should be better. And I know how much you love me, and this I want to be so good to you. And I know you're so good to me, and I want to be able to do so good. Please give me my strength back. Please give me my power of neshama, that I should be able, that the light should shine over the darkness. And I should be able to turn to you, and to overcome my evil inclination, and to serve you with love in the way I'm supposed to. Now it's a much more true, pure way to come in front of Hashem than to try to say, I wasn't in control. Let that be up to Hashem how much control you were in. When a Jew should come to Hashem with humility, with a state of repentance, and to say to Hashem, Hashem, give me the strength, give me back my bechira, give me back my goodness, allow my neshama to shine so I'd be able to come into service the way I'm supposed to.
All right, Lucy, let me ask you a question. Let's see like what your perspective is on this. You know, on Pirkei Avot it says, subdue your will for God's will in order that He should make His will your will.
Yeah. What do you say?
If you're really giving up your will for God's will, just in order to get your will, you really didn't give up anything because you're just like, okay, I'll do this for you to like, you know, scratch your back and scratch mine.
So it goes like this. It has to do with what you said before. No, what you said before. That the real... This is a very big topic.
Right.
I don't know if we can give this over concisely. But I see that you're very strong in Emuna, so you should have the schutz to be able to understand this properly.
Right.
A person's will comes from Hashem. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Who created will?
Hashem.
Created will. Now, if I have to ask you, what is the essence of a person?
His will.
That's in Kabbalah. Right, we know there's 10 sfirot. You familiar with 10 sfirot?
Yeah.
What's the highest of all the 10 sfirot?
Seven.
Called?
No.
Keter. Yeah. So there's Keter, the crown. Chachma, which is wisdom. Bina, understanding. And then Dat, which is knowledge. Okay? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, which is Chachma, Bina, and Dat. You can call that conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. Okay? And higher than all of that is the Ratzon, which is the will of a person. That's called the Keter. The Keter is the will of a person because a person doesn't know where his will comes from. Why is it that you like wine and you don't like fish? Why? You have no idea why.
Right.
You don't know why. Will is just, it's a chok. It's just, it just is. You can't explain why you like things that what you don't like. You like this color over that color. Why? I don't know why. It's just that's the way I was made. Why you have a tava for this and not for that? So I don't know why.
Has tava, my mom runs out the money all day. That's also from Hashem.
Yeah, desire, will. I won't say desire, because many times we do desires for reasons because they feel good.
But who created desire?
Okay, I'm not talking about that right now. Okay, I'm talking about we can explain why it is a person will do certain things if he gets pleasure from that. I mean, the reason why a person will eat trefot chas v'shalom is because it tastes good. That you can explain. Why it tastes good? I don't know why it tastes good. I don't know why I like this taste and not that taste. That you can't explain, because that has to do with the will. That will I can't explain. That's called keter. That's called the highest part of a person. He can't explain it. That comes from Hashem. Because now that you and I, we believe in Emunah Shleimah, that Hashem is the ultimate oneness and everything which is in existence He made, which means that even myself, which is my essential self, which is my will itself, that was created by Hashem. That means to say, if I ask you this question, answer me honestly. When I look at myself in the mirror, and I think about who I am, and I think about my name, which is my neshama, and I say, I am Mordechai Yoshua, this is who I am, Ani Mordechai Yoshua. What would be more of a true statement? I am Hashem, or I am Mordechai Yoshua? What is a more honest statement?
I am Mordechai Yoshua.
Why is that more than Ani Hashem?
Because you are more yourself of what you know than you being God, because you don't know.
Okay, true. But I'm not asking you in your world, in your space. I'm asking you a question which is an abstract question. I'm asking you a philosophical question.
How could you say you're God?
I'm not saying that you are God. I'm saying that if Hashem is the entire reality, mm-hmm. and He created all of reality.
Because you don't constantly live in that reality.
Okay, I'm not talking, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not talking about, look, we were speaking before. Before we were speaking about you in your world and in your life and your perception of Hashem and how that affects your choices and your punishment and reward. I'm not talking about that anymore. I'm talking now about abstract concept. If a person is thinking abstractly, and he's thinking in abstract terms, and he says, and he wants to be honest, and he's going to say, who am I more of? Am I more of myself, or am I more of Hashem? What's the answer?
Yourself, because you're selfish.
That's not true. I'm not talking about from your perception in your world. I'm talking about abstract. Imagine you're not in your body anymore. You're looking from the outside, and you're looking at the universe, and you're saying, let me understand this universe. Is the human being more a piece of Hashem, or is he more himself? What will you answer me?
Hashem.
Which means to say, that if a person wants to be completely true, in the highest sense of truth, because you know truth has many levels,
right.
In the highest place of truth from where truth comes from, that means to say that if I am more of Hashem than I am myself, abstractly, conceptually, idealistically, that means that more than I want to do what I want to do, what I really want to do is what Hashem wants to do.
I just don't know it.
I just don't know it. I'm not, again, there's a difference between in my world which I'm living and abstract conceptually. Exactly like you just said. Abstract conceptually, what I really want to do is the Ratzon of Hashem more than my Ratzon. I'm just not in touch with that, abstractly.
Get in my own
you don't
way.
Live, but you see, this is the problem. The problem is that 95% of the time, you're not living in abstractly.
Okay, but that's,
so even when you ask the question of what are you more abstractly,
but
the fact
that
you're baby, exactly. That's why this is Pirkei Avot.
Huh?
That's your problem. That's why this is Pirkei Avot. This is what they're trying to teach you. They're not coming to blame you.
No.
They're coming to teach you. And this is what Pirkei Avot is telling you. Pirkei Avot is telling you. If you believe that what you really want to do is what Hashem wants more than what you want to do in this world, because your real self is more part of Hashem than you realize. That what you're more, you're Ani, when you look in the mirror, you're really just seeing who you not truly are, but who you really are, is that you're part of this abstract piece, oneness of Hashem, and because Hashem created your will and He's the root of your will, which means to say, in my deepest, deepest will, I really want to do what Hashem wants. If you believe that, then Hashem, that means you've given over your will to Hashem, and Hashem will now do what it is that you want
to
do.
Because you want to do what He wants to do.
It's the hardest thing to do in this generation, though. Because you're surrounded by not just His will, you're surrounded by a lot of other stuff.
So the thing is like this. The Eitzah in this world, do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
But
then that's it. That's all. Okay. You don't have to absorb it all at once.
Hmm?
It's something which comes from letting it sit. And Muna, the Gemara says that Muna is like planting a seed. You don't understand it all at once. You plant the seed, and day after day, it grows and it grows and it grows, and you look back and you say, I don't know how it is that then I understood it a little, but now I understand it more because nothing has changed. But Emunah is something which you plant it, and then it grows. Just allow it to be planted, and just absorb it, Be'emunah, between Mut, purity of heart, and let it run its course.
Photosynthesis.
I just forgot what I was going to say now.
Sorry.
No, 1 second.
You should do with your photosynthesis.
No, it wasn't his fault.
I'm just kidding about plants now. You want some water?
No, thank you. Yeah, where are we going?
Ron.
You said something which sparked the thought.
I forgot it too. Shit. Wait, before I said photosynthesis, what I said? What did I say before?
I don't know. You're more yourself.
Plant seed. What's so funny?
Plant seed, Emunah, marinate.
He's wearing a hat. Emunah, Gemara. Gemara. Now that you understand that. Wait, do you understand that? And then I...
Shit. Because I have a question for you.
Wait, he's trying to dig in his brain.
Sorry. It's okay. Hopefully it'll come from this conversation. Yeah.
Okay. So if I understand correctly, that you said that once you submit your desires, and you say, you know, I want to do what God wants to do, right? So let's just say something at work, right? You want to take credit for it, but you're fighting with yourself all day, just saying it was 100% God. Whatever happened, right? So you're doing now, you're submitting yourself to God, basically, right?
Which is your higher self, your true self.
But what if, like, it's a fight? It's not like a...
Oh, that's what I
want to say. It's like a 100%...
Yeah.
Damn, 100%, you know? She got less.
So it's not, this is the point. This is the point. This point.
Remember
that?
I'm useful.
Yeah. It ties into what he's saying.
Listen.
Ties like what he's saying. Because you pointed out that this is the difficulty in this generation. This is the fight of this generation. But the thing is like this. This is the secret. The secret is like this. That a Jew does not fight the Yetzer Hara fighting arm in arm.
What does it mean?
It's not combat. We don't do... If a Jew wants to be successful against the Yetzer Hara, it's not real fight. It's not a real fight. It has to do with light and darkness. That when you shine light, mimela, automatically the darkness goes away. So it means like this. There's one way to go up against the Yetzer Hara, which is like, you know what, I'm going to try to muster as much strength so that when the Yetzer Hara comes and I'm in that position again, I'm not going to let him get me and prepare myself with a lot of Torah mitzvot and a lot of Torah and a lot of thoughts and preparing. That's one way.
The fastest.
That doesn't work. The way that it works is that the more emunah that a person has in things like this, which we're learning now, that he believes in Hashem's oneness and he believes that Hashem is with him all the time and then Hashem gives him strength and he depends on Hashem all the time, understanding this concept and letting it grow and to strengthen within himself will elevate a person to the point where when he hears the voice of the Yetzer Hara talking to him again, he's not talking to him anymore. It's not a voice anymore. It doesn't say anything. Just like if a person, let's say he's walking down the street, somebody says to him, come, I have a really great thing to do. There's a guy walking down the street, let's go ahead and kick him in the back. Hey, that's an Avera. And you look at this guy who's trying to get you to do that, you're like, this is ridiculous. I'll never do such a thing. Right? But this person may go ahead, if he has an isayon, if he has a temptation to eat something which is not kosher, he may go ahead and do that. Why? You know why? Because on my level, this is a challenge. But to kick somebody in the back for no reason down the street is not a challenge for me. But if a person elevates himself to higher levels because he's growing in his emunah and he's strengthening himself, he gets to a point where eating this thing which is not kosher is in his eyes just like kicking somebody in the back. It doesn't speak to me. I don't even hear such a thing. It's an absurdity to me. Why would I eat this thing and do something which Hashem doesn't want me to do? You know what? You know what type of an effect that it had on me? I'm a godly person. It doesn't talk to me at all. So it means that a person, instead of trying to make combat with his Yetzer Hara, he's elevating his neshama. He's elevating who he is and he's becoming a different person to the point where the voice of the Yetzer Hara which once spoke to him, don't speak to him anymore. This is how a Jew fights his Yetzirah. In a way that by the fact that he's always growing, so it doesn't talk to him. That's why we're just coming off of Chanukah. And then I have to go. Chanukah is a time where, what do? The Sfarim say that Chanukah is how we do battle against our enemies. With a candle. That's why we light, the Gemara says, we light outside on the door, on the front of the door, right? Nowadays we light inside because of the goyim and things like that. But in the Gemara, according to the Gemara, you're supposed to light outside so that the goyim can even see it. Why should the goyim see?
In Israel, it's a little outside.
Yeah,
it is, yeah?
Yeah, it's Israel, they do a lot outside.
It's outside, glass bottom. Yeah.
The reason why we do it outside is because we're doing war against our enemies in a way which is peaceful war. That we're not looking to destroy our enemies. We're looking to shine a great light on them.
So they calm down.
To either calm them down or to elevate them, but in a peaceful way. We don't do war with sword and with guns. That was the Brecha Ace of God from Yitzhak. Al Char B'chaticha, you should live by your sword.
It's like a protest type of thing?
Not even a protest. You're shining a light which is such a powerful Kedusha that it elevates the world to higher places. Wow. That's why. That's why the in Mishlei, Shlomo says, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. That a person, his soul is like a candle. And so what we do every day of Ner Chanukah, every night of Chanukah, we take a candle and we light one candle the first night, and the second night we'll light two candles, and the third night we'll light three candles, which means to say that we're not looking to jump levels, we're going step by step by step, we're being true to who we are, we know we can't jump levels in service of Hashem. What we do is that means that as we move forward every single night, we bring out more neshama, and more neshama, and more neshama. And that's how we do war against our enemies. Not by taking candles and burning down houses. That wasn't the mitzvah. That's how the Yishma'ilim do their mitzvot. Lahavdil. We don't do war like that. We shine lights of love to the world, of oneness to the world, of peace to the world. And that's represented by the fact that we grow step by step, day by day, in our own emunah, in our own strength through Torah mitzvot, and we make our neshama greater. In that way, when we look at the goyim outside, and we look at the things and what they're involved in, all the pettiness, all the garbage, we see ourselves higher than them. We say, I'm a piece of Hashem, how can I lower myself to do such things? That's what a person does, war with his Yitzhara, that he doesn't even hear the language anymore. That I'm a piece of Hashem, how can I even think like this? So rather than a person trying to be stuck in his place and trying to find all different types of tricks to fight against Yitzhara, that's not the way. That a person is growing, growing, growing in his own levels, and therefore, automatically, the Yitzhara doesn't speak to him anymore. This is true growth in how a person serves Hashem. And at the end of the day, the pleasure and that a person has from doing Torah mitzvot, each time he does it, it'll be so sweet as time goes on. Right now, tefillin, putting on tefillin may be very boring. But over time, the more that a person does the mitzvot of tefillin and talit and all these things, he's going to start to see that it becomes more pleasurable, more pleasurable, more pleasurable to him.
Try not to. Try not to do it.
Right, then you'll see that. Then the more that neshama person becomes, the more that he starts to feel the beauty in the mitzvot which he does. Hashem should give you the strength to grow. To be megdil et haneshama, to grow the neshama forward and forward. Abia got tzedek, we have a minuan.
Hopefully you come down against him, though.